Welcome back to the Tyler 10 podcast. Very special episode, really. We've done a few of these throughout the course of the season. And the last time we spoke to this gentleman was way back in August when we all had suntans and everything was a little bit rosier and we didn't realise what we were in for this season. But we are, and I say we because Ross is joining me as per usual, absolutely delighted to welcome Mr. Tim Kilpatrick. I was going to give you your title, Tim, but I won't because that's going to be one of our first questions. So I guess the kind of the pre-question, first of all, is how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on again. As you quite rightly say, Ben, a lot of water's under the bridge since we last had our last conversation after the Purple Turtle event, wasn't it? So thank you for having me on.
Oh wow.
Well, I think it's quite bizarre, really, because it, you know, in those days we were literally just focusing on kits aims for the season and you know, kind of commercial targets and stuff like that. And now we've got a whole host of stuff to talk about. So just a quick disclaimer before we start. You know, legally there are things that we're not going to talk about, and that's, you know, Tim's not kind of said that at all. That's really us, and we don't want to put him in that position. But really, you know, Tim's been very good to the pod. And to us over this year, really. Obviously started back in August with the you know, the kit pod that we talked about, but also just his time and kind of insight that he's given us. And really, we're here to just let him talk about stuff that's happened and kind of explain things in a little bit more detail. So really hope you enjoy it. Massive thanks, as always, to our sponsor, ZCZ Films. Again, you know, couldn't do what we do without them. And we're going to talk a lot about sponsorship in this particular pod with the club as well. So, right, let's get into it then.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
All right, Tim. As I said in the intro, you know, I was going to introduce you in terms of your title and your job role, but as most people may be aware, that's changed a bit over the course of the season, hasn't it? So, in a nutshell, if you can you just kind of explain what's happened to you, sort of professionally, in terms of your roles over the last 8 months or so since the last time we spoke on the pod?
When we last spoke on the pod, my job title was head of commercial, and you probably asked me then what my job involved, and I probably said, my job is making the club as much money as possible. And I still, you know, my job title is still head of commercial, and that is still my main remit, if I'm honest. But I guess what you're referring to is that I now sort of oversee our communications as well. You actually mentioned in your tweet, Ben, I think when you originally mentioned that I was coming on the show, that I think you put commercial and communications, and if I'm honest, it's not something I'm totally comfortable with, because I have huge imposter syndrome about it, because I don't, you know, I'm not trained in communications. I don't want to say I don't know what I'm doing, because it makes it sound, you know, like you've got imbeciles working at the club. I like to think I've got a little bit of common sense, and I can help. But yeah, I do now oversee communications. That all came about really because in November, certainly before Christmas, November, December sort of time, we had a communications team before, and two of the most senior members of that team, which were Mark Bradley, who've been at the club for 19 years, I want to say, hugely skilled, hugely experienced. He chose to leave, totally of his own accord, just wanted to try something new. And also Richard Dorman, the exact same thing, who was Mark's sort of deputy, if you like. So we lost two very experienced members of the team, and we had two younger guys. One of them actually left shortly after as well, but we had two younger guys in the communications team as well. Both very, very capable, but I was asked to sort of help them really where I can, if from a management point of view, or just try and just help them where I can. So, you know, when it says that I now, you know, work in communications, I'm not writing match reports and I'm not sending out tweets every day, but you know, I only really get involved when there's been maybe some difficult announcements that we need to put out, which obviously there's been a few of them. And
there's not been that many, is there, Tim, this season? There's not been that many, I don't think, to be honest.
So I only really get involved when there's been the difficult ones in terms of a writing point of view. I can write, I think, but you know, that, look, for me personally, it's been difficult, of course, at times, you say, having to do some difficult tasks, but I've learned loads. Like I'm learning, you know, new strings to my bow, and you know, I'm hopefully helping the members of the communications team, and you know, I think we'll probably get onto this later in later questions as well, but the way we're working at Reading at the moment is that there's no, like, job descriptions sort of go out the window at the moment, and you know, I can certainly say out of all the guys that I work with, everyone's mucking in, and you know, everyone's stepping up to get the to do what we need to do to make the to keep the show on the road and try and do what we need to do. And obviously I've had a lot of support along the way. Like I mentioned Mark Bradley earlier, like Mark's always been there to pick up the phone to when there's been difficult things we need to put out. He's been really, really gracious with his time to give me like help and guidance on certain things. And all the, you know, fellow members of senior management, or you know, the guys that I work with on a day-to-day basis in that team, everyone's been really helpful in trying to do the best we can. And you know, I think we've done some good stuff, and we've made some good strides in terms of that communication side as well. So
I'd agree. It's obviously been an interesting year, but whether on the commercial or on the communication side, what has it been like working for the club this year? Has it been noticeably different from, because obviously over the past few years, you know, the fans have been growing in discontent with the ownership regime and things like that. So it's not like this showed up just this year. But has there been a noticeable difference to working for the club this year at all?
I think yes, obviously. I think so. I started working at Reading January 2019. So 5 years or so, five and a bit years. I've been at the club, and I'd always worked in other sports previously, but football's crazy, right? And everyone of my peers who I talk to at other clubs, it's all the same. Like everyone working in football is crazy. It's always been a little bit mad. But yeah, certainly this past year has been, it's had a lot of challenges in many respects. It's probably not something that it probably isn't just this season, like, you know, a little bit beyond that too. Like we've had difficult times before that, but this season, there's obviously been difficult times. And what I'd say is, obviously I get asked that question a lot in terms of, you know, almost whenever meeting with anyone, the first question they say is, you know, how are you? In like a very concerned way. And I think my response is, you know, honestly, it has been difficult, but what's been great to see, sort of going back to what I was saying earlier, is the way that I like to include myself in this and my colleagues, everyone is just mucking in to get to do what they have to do to keep the show on the road. And that, you know, people like Jackie Evans, who Ben, I know, you know, Jackie's in the kitchen at 6 a.m. making sure the breakfast's ready for the players. And whether that's, Roseanne, who works in my team, she, you know, she's our partnerships manager, but, you know, we had a point in the season where we couldn't afford to operate, use our big screen suppliers anymore. So she, in the space of 3 days, learned how to operate a big screen. And now I think we're at a point where the big screen is better now than it probably was 12 wow. months ago. And that kind of attitude, wow. everyone is really rallying together to make sure that we do the very best we can for the club, for our fans, for the players, for the club. So it's been, it has been challenging, of course. And I think, you know, I've said many times that, you know, when I drive into work in the morning, I genuinely don't know what the day has in store a lot of the time. But as I said, I've learned so much over the past few months. I genuinely think that, you know, for myself, in terms of as an employee for Reading Football Club, for my career as a person, I think I've probably, at the end of all this, I might be in a better place, because, you know, you learn a lot in these times. So I'm in a weird way, I'm quite grateful for that. I'm not, you know, obviously would rather not have had what's happened, but yeah. it's been a bit of a roller coaster. Yeah, it's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but when I spoke to TalkSport recently, that's one of the things I said.
Yeah.
So there you go, on the right lines, I guess.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Did they ask you if you're okay, Ben?
Did he ask if I was? He did, actually. He's a nice guy. I don't like TalkSport as a body, but he did ask if I was all right, and I was like, look,
you know, just checking.
I don't need Reading Football Club to pay my mortgage, but I love it. And it's very, very important. I mean, you know, on those challenges, of which I'm sure that there have been many, and there are probably, you know, enough to, you know, kind of instance and examples to write a book on later down the line. What for you has been, you know, the biggest challenge? You know, this season, and I guess really there's two parts to that for you personally, but also, you know, as a club, what have been the biggest challenges there?
For me personally, I think the biggest challenge has been, for me personally, in terms of sort of my role, the biggest challenge was probably at the start of the season when, you know, we had quite public winding up orders. We had, you know, a lot of negative publicity about the situation the club was in. And, you know, naturally a huge part of my job is sponsors, brand. So there was a really difficult period where we're having to have a lot of frank conversations with sponsors. You know, we've had a relegation and we've had, you know, we've got, in a very, very difficult situation for the club. So there was a lot of difficult conversations, and it felt like, you know, frankly, there was a lot of sponsors and corporate clients that we had, which withdrew their support because they didn't feel they could be associated with the club at the time. That was a difficult period because naturally part of my job is, you know, you're attached to revenue, right? And you want to be driving as much revenue as you can for the club. At the same time, you become even more grateful for the guys who say, no, Tim, we're in this through thick and thin. Like, we love the club and, you know, we want to help the club get back to where we want it to be. So that was a difficult time. There's obviously been difficult periods, you know, whether that's certain staff leaving, there's been difficult periods with, you know, it's quite public that we've had times where we've been, you know, not been paid in full on time. So, you know, as a line manager, you're having to have conversations with members of staff and seeing how it affects them and things like that. So there's been difficult times in that. And I think almost in my nature sometimes as well, there's been times where you've seen difficult times on the horizon. Let's be honest, financially, I'm in a position where I can actually make a difference to that. So I've tried to, where I can, make a difference. And lots of the times you've managed to do it. Sometimes you haven't been able to quite do it. So it's, you know, no one in the club is putting pressure on me, but also you put pressure on yourself to try and find a solution. So personally, that's, I don't know if that answers your question a little bit, but
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know, because obviously I only see it from one side of it, and I talk to you and other people within the club are just about, you know, day-to-day stuff, and nothing, you know, secretive or exclusive or in the know or anything like that. But, you know, it's been well publicised that you, as an employee body, have very rarely been paid in a timely manner and sometimes not in full as well, which anyone in their profession, in their job role, that's going to have its, you know, it's going to take a toll over a period of time. And I want to come back to the sponsors later on in terms of the impact that they've had and, you know, the kind of the profile that you look for, and obviously engaging them. But, you know, in terms of that engagement, how difficult has it been to engage the fans in what, you know, you, your team, the club in the background are trying to do with all of the stuff higher up that's been happening at board level? Has that been difficult? Has it been, you know, relentless? You know, how have you found it basically as a you know, individual, but also as a team?
I think you can almost split the season into two halves. I think right at the start of the season when things were difficult and it was engaging fans was really difficult. It felt, you know, we had the Purple Turtle event at the start of the season, which felt like it was a really good, you know, activity for fan engagement. And then certain things started to happen and it became very, very difficult to engage fans. And, you know, for us, you know, results weren't going so well at that time either. And it makes it, you know, it makes it difficult. And it was very difficult. And you have to be very, very delicate in what we do from a commercial point of view and from a communications point of view. I think you counteract that with where we are now, and in a weird way right now, despite the fact that, you know, or even last month actually, despite the fact that the club was in a difficult position, fans have been incredible. Like I couldn't possibly ever ask for more from our fan base. Like when it was, you know, stories were getting out about, you know, the club needs to drive revenue, etc. Fans actively rallying around, encouraging people to buy tickets, encouraging everything they can to drive revenue into the club. It's been fantastic, and I think a lot of the credit on that really goes to, because I think the fans have bought into the team. And the manager, of course, and they're liking what they see on the pitch. Now, we're not saying we're going to win every game, but the fans are liking what they see on the pitch, and they feel attached to the players that are working their socks off every game. And that has a huge, you know, that makes our job from a communications point of view much, much easier, right? Because fans, from a commercial point of view, I was in an incredible position in March where fans wanted to buy from us. I could, you know, we could probably put out something, you know, buy anything and fans would have done it, which is incredible. Something that I wasn't totally comfortable with all the time, but it was incredible. And, you know, right now the engagement we've got from our fan base is absolutely amazing. And I don't think it's certainly not unnoticed by everyone at the club, the role the fans have played in helping us get positive results again. You know, the amount of people, especially the Northampton game last week, you know, the amount of people saying it's the best atmosphere they've had at the ground for a long, long time. And many people saying, you know, that atmosphere helped us get 3 points It's amazing, and that's the great thing about working in football and working for any football club, is that, you know, you do have moments like this where we've gone through difficult times in the past, right? You know, we've had three seasons of points deductions, but this season, probably because of what's been seen on the pitch and the players and the way they're working, it's the first time it's really galvanized us. And sort of had an us against the world mentality, mm-hmm. which
I think it's out of that thing as well. Like, you know, when everything's going wrong on the other side of it, you come out of it a lot stronger, as you said, personally, as a collective body. I feel like we're going to be a lot stronger as a club. And we were talking about this, you know, yesterday on the normal pod, in inverted commas, about the away support. And it's another sellout tomorrow against Bristol Rovers. And that's been consistently, you know, across the board. I can't think of many away games that we've not, you know, physically sold out this season. And, you know, I personally still think there's work to do with the home attendances, but that will come. Yeah. You know, the better the team does, that will come. And we're going to talk about ticket prices, you know, moving forward. But yeah, there's been a noticeable, you know, shift in that bond, I think, really, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that you mention it, sort of stepping into that communications oversight role around November. Cause I mean, even before that a little bit, but definitely since, I think there's been a noticeable shift, in focus on communication in general as a club. I don't know if it's, been a conscious effort on your part in the department, but it feels like the club understands the need to communicate a little bit better than it has in previous seasons, which is great. And one thing that's been really awesome has been sort of the community based focus of some of those things. So there's the Talking Royals sessions, of course, and there's been nominating female fans and things like that. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the community aspects that you've been trying to highlight with the communication?
I think just to go back to one thing you said there, Ross, I don't think there's more of a focus on communications, because I certainly, you know, the guys Mark and Richard, who I mentioned earlier, I think, you know, they definitely were not focused, and they definitely, you know, were probably in many ways doing a better job than what I'm, inverted commas, doing now. I think in terms of the community initiatives you mentioned and talking about that more, it was something which I've been quite keen on for a long time, in terms of, Reading Football Club, in my opinion, isn't just the men's first team. It's more than that. It's the impact we have. It's the academy, the women's team, but it's also the impact we have locally, the impact we have on people's lives. And actually, you know, Reading Football Club means more to people than what division we're in or certain goals. It's, you know, the strangers you've got your season ticket next to for 15 years that you would never have met them otherwise, but you want to spend every match with them because that's sort of where you sit, and that's who you got to know, that's your match day. And obviously there's a huge family element to football and everything like that. But one of the first things I introduced when I sort of got started working in this communication side was we just arranged a monthly meeting with the community trust and Dave Evans and his team, and just went through the upcoming months ahead in terms of, right, what's on the agenda. What the trust do amazing work amazing work, and, you know, positively impact so many people's lives in the Reading area. And I don't think we talk about it enough. And actually, when results aren't maybe going so well, it's not such a bad thing to remind people that Reading Football Club is really helping people. Reading Football Club Community Trust, is really helping people. So it was one of the first things I did, and, you know, it's allowed us to sort of get a bit more structure to talking about the great things that the Trust do, and also, you know, talking about the great things that our fans do, or the great, telling the stories of what our fans are doing. Johnny and with Talking Royals, that's nothing to do with Reading Football Club. It's nothing to do with the Trust, but actually what he's doing is pretty amazing. I think it's right that we try and inform other fans about it and celebrate that. So it was a conscious effort of mine. And I should also add as well that the EFL are putting more of a focus on this. You're sort of audited, or you need to provide evidence of the work you're doing from an EDI perspective, equality, diversity, and inclusion. And, you know, so we've made a proactive effort to talk about these initiatives more. And I don't know if you might not have seen it. Last week we got a bronze certification for our work in that sector. So, you know, there's plenty of work for us to be doing. We'd like to be getting gold, of course. But, and I should say as well, to give you an idea of where we are as a football club, you know, we have not got a big team at all. So for us to be doing things like this, we do rely on the help of volunteers. And there's a lady called Connie Brown who has been, you know, collating all the documentation for us to pass the CFL audit completely in a voluntary role, like doesn't get paid anything, but she's spent a lot of hours ensuring that we're in a position to pass the EFL standards. So it's really important that we have people like that to help us at the moment, because frankly, we're not in a position to recruit people for this area. So yeah, it's two sides really. There was a proactive initiative from myself to talk about these subjects more, and the EFL are also hot on making sure that clubs communicate around that much better too.
I think the EFL, you know, and all the clubs got responsibility to their community, and I would imagine that there are clubs that are not working closely with their community trust. I mean, you know, by process of elimination, there's going to be some that don't have that relationship there. But you know, from a non-internal point of view, you know, I do feel that, you know, the shift in the media department is a lot more aligned with what the community trusts are doing. And obviously I work with the community trust because they come into our school, and, you know, Dave and Chris and Harinder and Phil and Dan and all those guys and the rest of their team, absolutely fantastic. And the work, as you said, Tim, that they do is incredible. And the kind of the hard to reach communities, I still think there's more work to do across the board in terms of both those areas, but there's been a noticeable shift in terms of the, you know, the main account, in inverted commas, if you like, of Reading Football Club kind of sharing that. And there seems to be, or there had seemed to be, a kind of a lot more of a coming together in terms of alignment of where those goals are at. And it's great that obviously that is evidenced by the fact that you went, right, we're just going to start talking. And that's all it is, really. That kind of gateway to moving stuff forward is communication. Speaking of communication, I had to put new ink in the printer tonight for this, but I've got the season ticket prices here on a nice little bit of paper, and I've highlighted bits and bobs because they were released last week. I guess really, you know, first glance, for me personally, the prices look really good. If I'm renewing my seat, which I will do, don't worry about that, in the Dolan, £15.65 a game. But my son, who, you know, loves coming, he's 9 years old, his game, or his price per game, comes out at £2.83. And there are cheaper tickets there as well. I mean, that's quite, you know, I couldn't go to the Co-op or any other branded supermarket before anyone comes after me and go out with him and spend less than £2.83. So it's definitely value, I would say, Tim. I mean, I guess really the two questions are, why have they been released so early? Because it is quite early to release season tickets, in my opinion. And also, you know, who decides the price and structure, and how is that, you know, how is that kind of arrived at, basically?
Yeah, so I would contest that they're released early. I would say they're released early for Reading Football Club.
That's a good point. I think Sheffield Wednesday released theirs in like February or something.
Yeah, a lot of clubs release season tickets earlier, and effectively it gives us a much bigger window to market and to try and do a full campaign in terms of, you know, selling season tickets and encouraging, first of all, current fans to renew, and hopefully attract new fans too. Ideally, if I'm honest, I've released them earlier. Naturally, things on the pitch impact your decision-making, although, you know, obviously we've released season tickets, the prices already, there is obviously still a chance we could get relegated. So it's obviously, the prices wouldn't change if we did, but it's, you know, and we still do a full competitor analysis to ensure that our prices are fair value for money if that were to happen, which, touch wood, it won't. But yeah, so the idea of releasing it earlier is so that we can do a full campaign in terms of marketing our season tickets as best we can, and season tickets from a customer relationship perspective. Rob, who's our head of CRM, the season tickets are something that he's almost working on for on a 365 days a year basis. We're constantly analysing which season ticket holders have a season ticket but aren't coming. If you have a season ticket and you haven't been for a few games, we pick that up and we can identify which season ticket holders are at risk, and we might communicate with those season ticket holders in a different way than we would to someone like yourself, Ben, who comes to every game, and we can pretty much rely.
I was gonna say, Tim, no one rang me when I missed like four games in a row, and I would have told you. Gymnastics competitions, under 8 or under 9 semi-finals. Rugby,
couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Throat infections, all sorts, mate. Yeah, it's all happened to me.
Yeah, sure. So it's the idea of releasing them earlier is to try and give ourselves the best chance of getting the best numbers we can. And I should say, I'm really proud of the campaign this year. Frankly, we've had no money to spend, but I personally think it's the best season ticket campaign that we've had since I've been at the club. We've produced the graphics in-house. Roseanne that mentioned earlier, she's done that all by herself. It's not her job to be a graphic designer, but she's made all those herself. We managed to do a pretty cool video, which I thought we lent on the support of a fan to do that video for us, and it came out pretty cool. And I think, we spent a lot of time on the messaging as well around it's showtime. I think And there's lots of different connotations we've gone into that. And I'm sure some fans feel it's a load of nonsense, but we spent maybe a month, 6 weeks ago, we had almost like a brainstorming session of the keywords we want to use to sort of sell our season tickets whilst recognizing where we are as a club, the situation we're going through. What could we say? What is the narrative that we want to be communicating to our fans about Reading Football Club? And I've always had this thing about, I went to a presentation a year or so ago or 2 years ago from, and it was the chief commercial officer at Barcelona. And he spoke about his values as the club's values. And one of the main values was to be the best show in the world. Now I'm not saying Reading Football Club, it should aspire right now to be the best show in the world. But
I was going to say, don't show off, Tim. You've got a bit of a way to go yet, mate. There's a little bit of a gap there somewhere. But
in my opinion, we're the best show in town. And what else, especially for the price, Ben, that you mentioned, what else can you do on a Saturday with your boy for £2.80, whatever it was? So that's a lot of the messaging that we go down. And actually, it's worth noting as well, I spoke to Ruben about this as well. Ruben gave certain keywords which he would like introduced to it that sort of reflect his team and his philosophy and the values which he wants to be represented in what we talk about. And that won't just be for season tickets, it'll also maybe be for kit launches and things like that. So it was a real sort of well thought out plan, in my opinion, probably the best campaign we've put together since I've worked here. It's a very long answer to the first part of your question.
No, it's good. It's all good.
It's interesting, though. Yeah. I'm imagining Ruben walking in with an easel now and sort of going, guys, showtime. Right? Old Don Draper.
Not quite. If I'm honest, it was just me going into his office, but he was very proactive in saying these are, he went through the presentations that he'd given to the football team, the football departments earlier on in the year. Obviously, certain keywords, certain values that he wants the playing side of the football club to represent, and allowed me to take certain words or certain values which we could align into our marketing, which was very good of him. And he proactively was interested in what we were trying to do. Which was great. And then in terms of for the second part of your question in terms of how we decide the pricing. We don't want to increase season ticket prices. We never do. We increased season tickets last season by about 8%, I think it was. And that was out of necessity because we hadn't increased season ticket prices for like 9 years, I think. And it was really starting to bite. This season, yeah. our operating costs have gone up about 5 to 6%. That's mainly through increasing national minimum wage and just standard RPI. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision to roughly increase about 4%, and they were the prices which Paul, our head of ticketing, proposed, and we agreed they were the right way to go. And you know, we were always quite well. Paul certainly was quite steadfast, and we all agreed that, you know, Ben, you mentioned the Eamon Dolan stand and the family area. We didn't want to increase tickets in that area because obviously it's important for us to be encouraging the next generation of fans where we can.
I mean, you know, before I chuck it over to Ross for the next part, that 8% last year, you know, I was very, very critical of that. And, you know, I had a phone call from someone at the club who I won't name, who kind of fought back a little bit. And I said, look, it's around the messaging. You know, you can put prices up, you know, 8, 10, 12, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's around the messaging. And you know, you said at the start of this answer of the question we just asked about how it's communicated. I think it's really, really good. And, the price is really, really competitive. And I forgot my dad, bless him, but chuck him into the mix. And for the three of us to go, it's less than £30 a game, which, you know, you can't moan at all. And obviously we do it regardless because we're fans and we're lucky that we can afford it. But it's a really, really good campaign. It's simple. It's short. Everyone knows where they stand with those prices. Everyone knows that it's the 14th of June as the renewal date, and they can move on from there. So, yeah, overall, and this is what Ross was saying earlier about the shift and the communication and the kind of the feeling around the marketing and the way that it's messaged in those kind of those official communication documents online and stuff. So, you know, for me personally, just one fan, it does feel really, really positive.
Thanks.
In terms of the way it's been pitched. I think good job.
Thank you. Not that this isn't me trying to blow smoke up my ass, but I think any shift that I might be responsible for is probably the way in which we write now, Ben. And something you said then is that it was short. So I've come from a sales background, right? And I've got this book which basically I've pretty much made my whole career on. It tells you how to write sales copy, and effectively no one's got time to read anymore. If someone go on a web page and it's you're scrolling down to read the article, no one's going to read it. So something we've been mm-hmm. much more tactical on is trying to give people the information they need, and give it to them quickly. And let them digest it, and then, you know, hopefully a few persuasive words in there as well. But that is one thing that hopefully is, you know, if you notice it, amazing. I wouldn't expect anyone to notice it. Actually, maybe it's better if they don't notice it. But that is something that we probably have changed. And that's something where for myself as commercial and communications, everything that we do now is probably a little bit more tactile than perhaps it was in the past when you have two separate departments. Maybe even in our social media posts, I'd like to think that because we're working together, we're always talking about what our attendance is, how many Royals TV passes have we sold. We are quite all aware now of what we're trying to achieve for the club, what we're all there to do. So even if it's not something that's directly selling, chances are that what is being put out there does have a strategic element to it in terms of what it says, when it's saying it, or maybe where it's linking to. So hopefully, I don't want to come across as too commercial because football fan, you know, it's not all about selling. Football club's about more than that. But hopefully, maybe it is noted in some way.
It is a really interesting role that you have, because I often think, being in America, obviously, like, we have teams over here, but they're franchises and they're designed to make money as much as they are designed to, you know, win championships and things like that. Whereas I feel like in England, the atmosphere is, yes, you want to make money. These are businesses, obviously, and they need to make money to survive. But winning trophies is kind of the profit, in inverted commas, yeah, often that fans will see. Do you think that with the revenue you've been able to help out, you know, generating, whether that's in the fan shop, Royals TV, all of those kinds of things, do you think that you've been able, that money then goes back into the club to help them win or to help them put the match day experience on?
I don't think, I know it does. Every penny that the club, so first of all, actually going back to what you said first, Ross, yeah, you are right. We're not in the business of making money. We're in the business of getting 3 points.
Exactly.
But at the same time, everything that we do as a team, a commercial team, every penny that we make that goes into the club goes towards making the team better, making the team, you know, giving them the best possible facilities, the best possible experience that we can, you know, putting on the match day operation to the best that we can within our financial constraints. You know, every penny that goes into the club gets spent on those things. There's a little bit of a thing which I see on social media sometimes of that money gets taken out of the club, and I can categorically say that that doesn't happen and has never happened. I'm not here, as you said, Ben, to talk about the ownership, but I can categorically say Mr. Dye has never taken money out of the club. So any fears that money that gets spent on Reading Football Club and is gonna not be used by the football club is definitely not true.
I mean, you know, just on that subject of money, and we know it's been a sore spot for the club and been very difficult. within that communication around the season tickets, there was a bombshell for some people that don't know the Dolan as well as I do. But you know, the kind of the family stand is now named the Eden Vauxhall stand. I don't want to go into too much about, you know, how much they're paying or whatever, because I don't think that's really relevant. But in terms of, you know, when you're selecting parts of the club to get sponsored or areas of the stadium, for example. And on that note, still think you should call the West Stand the Fulbury Garden Stand, but that's another matter. I know there's no money involved in that, so you know, don't worry. But you can have that one for free, that idea. In terms of selecting a sponsor, what kind of goes into that? How do you go about talking to local businesses, maybe larger national companies? How does it work?
In terms of selling to a sponsor, it's very much, it's just a conversation, right? Like, you know, I think it's important as best we can as a football club to have connections with all major stakeholders within our town. So the major employers or the major, you know, people who have an interest in Reading. So that's something that obviously in my role proactively we're trying to engage now. When I go to a meeting with a potential sponsor, I'm not there, unless there's very rare circumstances where it's quite an obvious fit, but I'm typically not there saying, I've got gold, silver, bronze package. I never do this, but I've got we've got gold, silver, bronze package. Which one do you want? It's typically a case of, look, I work for a football club. This is what we do. This is our, you know, the amount of fans we have, this is our reach within this local area and nationally or whatever. And then typically it's, what are you guys trying to do? What's your objectives at the moment? What are your challenges? Is there any way we can help? Many times there will be some times that we can help, and you know, things transpire from that and it becomes a really good partnership. Often there's not, right? More, it's the nature of sales, more people say no than yes. But I would say that because of, you know, a lot of people think very fondly of the club in football, more people say yes than it would be if I was selling double glazing. So it's not the hardest sales job, in my opinion. Like, it's you can't be selling a better thing. Like, it's, you know, I love football, and most people, a lot of people love football too. So a lot of the time I go to a sales meeting, you'll talk about football, and then you'll talk a little bit about trying to sell someone something. So it's not, it's certainly not a case of trying to fit square pegs in round holes. It's just having a conversation and seeing what you can, you know, almost trying to find a fit. In terms of earmarking, you know, you're talking about Eden Vauxhall, obviously in the Family Stand. So, that it did cause a bit of commotion the other day with the season tickets. And so they sponsored the Family Stand for about 4 or 5 years. I hope they're not listening to this because they might think they're not getting, it obviously hasn't been noticed. But
well, that was why I was like, I'm pretty sure they've been around for ages. So, and someone was like,
they sponsored the Family Stand for 4 or 5 years. Now, there's a distinct difference between the Eamon Dolan Stand and the Family Stand. The Family Stand is part of the Eamon Dolan Stand. To give you an example of how that came about, Graham Potts, who's the chief executive of Eden Motor Group, he's a Mackham, actually. He's from Sunderland, but he's lived in Reading for many years. He comes to most of our home games. He's got hospitality tickets, and look, they sell a lot of their cars to families, secondhand cars to families who need a car, and he wanted to try and engage that kind of audience. So it's a natural fit for them to sponsor our Family Stand. One of the big things we said as part of that is look, obviously there's a fee for the promotion which would go to the club, but also we'd like you to try and spruce up the area a little bit if you can. And you know, anyone who's in the Family Stand will notice there are, you know, Kingsley's Den and all this kind of stuff in the area, which Eden Vauxhall have funded to try and make it a little bit more friendlier for children, a little bit more engaging for children. You know, as a dad myself, I know it's not easy to entertain a child for 90 minutes of a football match. So any little bits which can help make their experience a little bit better is going to help the club. And, you know, as for Eden Vauxhall, maybe they'll get a little bit of positive association out of it as well. So, that's an example. Was for them, there was an obvious fit of the family area and their demographic of customer.
Seems pretty good to me.
Makes sense. Sticking with the motoring theme here for a second, while we're talking about sponsors, how good have Select Car Leasing been? They've sort of now moved into my brain in this space as this third great Reading sponsor after like Kyocera and Waitrose through the years. And now Select Car Leasing, with them having been there for a few years, you know, that icon on front of the jersey is starting to stick out in my brain as, I don't know, being very related to the club. But I guess the question is just how good have they been as a sponsor?
I don't think I could ever ask for more from a sponsor, to be honest. Going above and beyond countless occasions. The amazing thing with those guys is they just care so much about the club, and they just really want to help. And that's not just been the case this season. It's been every season they've been involved, even when they weren't the front of shirt sponsor, because they were the dugout sponsor before, and they've always wanted to help. So Mark and James, who are the two owners, I've had to have many difficult conversations with them this year, and some which obviously I've walked into their office sort of maybe expecting to get maybe some not so kind words back to me, and it's never been that way. Like, they've bent over backwards to help the club, and you know, you can't ever ask for more than that. It's for them, it's more than just a sponsorship. You know, they see supporting Reading Football Club as, they care about Reading as a town. Like, you'll see, you know, yes, they sponsor Reading Football Club, but they also do loads of work for the Community Trust. They do lots of work for I think it's Mary Curie Cancer Hospice. They do lots of work in the community. It's not just about Reading Football Club. They care deeply about the town. But in terms of, you know, there's been, this season has been absolutely incredible, and they've helped out no end when you would not expect the things they've done to be done by a sponsor. And you know, even before the season, when we launched the front of shirt sponsorship and the stadium naming rights, you know, we, for all our sponsors, we provide them with data in terms of how much exposure they're getting from their partnership. So they'll pay X amount, and then, you know, we like to show them data saying, well, actually, you paid X amount, but the value you've got from it's Y, because you've been, you know, your shirt logo has been on social media this many times, on the TV this many times, to this many people. You like to give them metric, and frankly, they don't really care. they do care, and obviously they want to see it, but if Mark and James, the owners, if they'll be saying to me, what can we do to get more people in the stadium? What can we do to engage more with grassroots clubs? What can we do to, you know, they really want to see the stadium full. They want to see the club engage as best as it can, influencing children, influencing people's lives in the area. That's what they care about. So they're amazing sponsors, and they're amazing people as well. For me personally, they've been brilliant. They've helped me at difficult times, and they've really gone above and beyond.
I think they, you know, being serious for a moment, and you know, giving them their flowers, because it's one of those where I think when the stadium was changed and it became the Select Carl Eason Stadium, there was many people like myself and people was like, well, I'm never calling it that. Like, it's always going to be the Medeski, and that's that, you know. But now, you know, based on just the way they are. You know, and I'm a customer of theirs as well. So, like, they're really good in that respect. But I really hope that they've done well out of it as a company, because, as you say, they do, you know, they do seem like they care. And obviously, as fans, we hear certain things and rumours and stuff, and I won't go into those now. But they just seem like really good eggs. Do you know what I mean? And you know, really, really grateful as a fan to have, you know, a backing and the kind of the moral fibre of a company like that to have them in our corner as a club, really. So yeah, it's been really, really good.
Ben, have you managed to start calling them, because I've only just managed it this season, have you managed to start calling it the SCL yet in the in your match reports, in your view from the day?
Well, I've gone Stad DSCL, because I think that's quite a nice ring to it. Stad DSCL is quite nice.
Yeah,
and like the Berkshire Arena, I've filtered those out a little bit more, really.
Okay.
The Whitley Bowl was my favourite. I thought that was, and without kind of blowing my own trumpet, I thought that was really funny. I don't think anyone else did, but I just thought it was very amusing. Talking of you know, sponsorship still and awards and stuff and things like that, you know, one of the things that kind of kicked off a few years ago was the Player of the Season dinner and kind of ceremony, and it was, I know it was done on the pitch, and it ruffled quite a few feathers, I think, to be honest. And I was on Star at the time, and they were not happy at all with that decision. There's now been a decision made for no end of season awards dinner this season, and the kind of the typical sort of football fan attitude is like, well, hold on a minute, we need money, so why are we not doing that? And I know there was a few sort of tongue in cheek references to previous years about how irritating it was. What was the decision behind not having one this year, basically?
Yeah, so this season, as you correctly say, Ben, we're not doing the end of season awards dinner. And we're going back to doing the presentation on the pitch at the end of the season, which, frankly, the quick answer for why we're not doing the end of season awards dinner is, financially, we're not in a position to commit to that, because of the level of upfront investment that's required to various different suppliers to make the show happen. So that is one quick reason. But I'd also say, going back to probably your first question in terms of how my job role has changed, I now personally have much stronger dialogue with Star and Sarah Turner in particular as the chair of Star. So we've been quite keen to find a middle ground for the end of season awards, and this will be going forward as well, to make sure that we can do something which every fan can appreciate. You know, myself as head of commercial for the club, I do still want to do an end of season awards dinner of sorts, because I think it's, first of all, I think it's appreciated by a certain people. It's really important for our sponsors. It's really important for our corporate clients. And frankly, it drives revenue into the club as well. So that And also the people that we're looking after are there, are driving revenue into the club as well. So that is really important for us. I believe the players enjoy it too. It's a nice event for them to celebrate a season, no matter where you are in the, at the end of the season. I think we should be saying thank you to the players. Thank you for your efforts, no matter what's happened on the pitch that season. But I also do recognise that talking with Sarah, that the way it happened last season probably isn't quite as we'd have liked it. And if I'm honest, there were certain things that I was disappointed with last season in the way things happened. But we're both quite aligned now, and that we want to find a solution that we can work together on. And so I think for next season, we can expect that.
I was going to just ask you the very simple, you know, what's your highlight from the season question, but now you've mentioned Sarah Turner, there's a part of me that wants to ask you the question we asked her, which is very important. It was after the Fleetwood Town game. Yeah. And that, Tim, is, would you rather be a haddock or a cod?
Oh, you won't know this, but I'm from Blackpool. I'm a Blackpool
okay,
fan.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's definitely a haddock, yeah.
A haddock. All right. Perfect. Perfect.
That's amazing. Thank you. That's brilliant. That, I can't believe you just asked.
Sorry.
That.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. We've been very lucky to have guests this season. I thought I'd ask a consistent question.
I was like, where's he going? What's he going to say now? What did he ask Sarah after the Fleetwood game?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be relevant to Tim here? But he's nailed it as per usual. He's nailed it.
Yeah, mate. So, all right. Well, then, haddocks or cods notwithstanding, what has been your overall highlight of the season, Tim? What's been your favorite moment?
Probably this pod, I'd imagine.
Yeah. No, my highlight was getting compared to WrestleMania by Ben on a tweet earlier.
Yeah. I still got goosebumps from that. Honestly, great two nights. Superb stuff.
I'm not really the kind of person who reflects that much, because in the environment we're in, it's quite fast paced. So you're always on to the next, highlight. I happened at the start of the season, but I thought the Purple Turtle event was brilliant. And frankly, from a personal perspective, I think I said this on the pod at the time, Ben, it was a little bit of, guys, this is what we're going to do. Going to wing it. And it sort of all worked out and it went really well. So that was something which I was really pleased with. There's actually been lots of little highlights for me throughout the season from a commercial and marketing point of view that probably wouldn't be noticed by most people. But there's been many times which I've said to the guys that I work directly with, you know, we might send an email out and I'll look at the guys and like, guys, we're doing really well here. Like, if we look at what we're doing now versus what we were doing 2 or 3 years ago, it's very easy to see, and I'm one of those saddos that's part of my job role where I'm basically subscribed to every single club in the EFL's mailing list, and I go through them and I think rubbish compared to ours. Just little things like that I'm really proud of the work that the guys I work with have done, and because as we've discussed many times, it's been a really challenging environment, but we're actually doing really good stuff at the same time. And I'm proud of the season ticket campaign we've just done. I don't want to say something that will haunt me or be like a meme on social media, but, you know, I feel like despite everything that's going on, we're in a position where, as you said earlier, Ross, our engagement with our fans and our attendances have been dropping for a few years now. And I'm convinced that we're in a position, despite everything that's going on, that we should be looking to send that the other way now. And that excites me. And I'm really proud that as a team, we've got to that point. Maybe it's just timely, but I don't know if you guys felt like this. I didn't listen to your pod yesterday. You might have said this yourself, but I felt Saturday was quite an interesting point for the team. And this is just me as a football fan talking, right? Because we're playing against a team who are doing really well in Lincoln. What was it? Haven't lost in 9, won 7.
And they'd scored a million goals in their last two games or whatever.
And clearly a very good side. And, you know, we went toe-to-toe with them. And they were up to all their antics, and considering the age of our team, not a single one of them got drawn into it. They all kept to the task. They all stuck to the game plan. And I thought, I was watching that and I thought, that's like, if I was a football manager, I'd be so proud of the team. Like, I know they didn't win, but considering their, what, average age, 22, 23, Tyler Bindham making it, hadn't played a professional game.
Oh, don't start talking about Tyler Bindham. We'll be here for another hour. Ross will just go
off. The way he, every time one of them players threw themselves to the floor, the way he just focused on the game, get the ball down, let's play. I thought that was like incredible maturity. Like, I felt, you know, we've had great wins this season. Stevenage away was brilliant, like, you know, in the trenches, those sort of games. But something about Saturday, I thought there was a lot to be proud of. And I thought it was obviously great atmosphere, great attendance.
There was a lot of positivity from Saturday, I have to say. And you can, whether it was the weather or what, or it's coming towards the end of the season, I don't know. But I mean, Ross summed it up perfectly on the pod yesterday when he said that we stopped, you know, an informed team not doing things. Basically, we really limited them to what they were able to do, and that was, I thought that was a really good kind of sum up of the game, really. Last one for you, Tim. Probably the most important question we've asked you. What are the kits coming out? How many are there? And will we have the mess that we had at the start of this season with Fanatics in terms of actually physically being able to hold a bit of Reading FC fabric?
Yeah, so no, that is a good question. So we will, when are the kits coming out? I'm not going to put a date on that. You know, it ruins the surprise a little bit, doesn't it? But I can say that we are in the best position we've been in terms of my time working at the club, in terms of when deliveries are going to come, etc. So you can expect to see the kits probably a little bit earlier than they have been in previous years. We'll have to be tactical with that, of course. You know, we want to make sure we launch kits at the opportune time to, you know, make people hopefully want to buy them. How many kits are there? There'll be three. And three and a goalkeeper. With Fanatics, so it's really, I'm really pleased you asked that, Ben, because there were obvious issues which we had, you know, in the summer/autumn of last season. It was issues which affected every club that worked with Fanatics. It wasn't just Reading, and I probably won't do a very good summary of it, and Fanatics probably won't thank me for it, but Fanatics moved warehouses, and things didn't go to plan, and the dispatching of goods wasn't working, and there was a lot of stress for the Fanatics employees because they handle massive clubs like Man United, and
they were also having the same problems. Like, as the biggest seller ever.
Yeah. So I mean, so we obviously had some issues with Fanatics, and I will say that they worked really hard to correct it as quickly as they can, but it did take some time, and obviously the experience for our fans was affected, which we as a club we take ownership of, right? We, you know, we choose to work with a certain company and a partner of ours, and it affects our fans, and that is Reading Football Club. So we do take accountability of that and try to do everything we could to help. There's no reason for me to think that would happen again this year. If you order a shirt now off the Reading FC fan store online, it comes to you within the dates that are specified. So there's no reason for me to be concerned at this moment. And I will say our partnership with Fanatics has been really successful. We're probably selling double the amount of shirts that we were selling before that, which, you know, I might take credit for some of the designs, but I think also is probably helped by the availability and the speeds. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, the you want to buy everything in one click of your phone, right? Don't you now these days? You don't want to go through different sort of layers to buy something. So it has been a successful partnership for us.
I think you can still buy some as well at this late stage of the season. Like, I think last time I checked, they were all in stock for kind of all sizes, which, you know, in previous years was not been the case, because, you know, with the 150th, where they sold out in like, you know, 4 weeks or something. So hopefully we won't have that, because I know that, well, certainly my son was whinging about it for a long time, and Ross as well. Ross did not shut up about it, because he loves a shirt, Ross. So listen, Tim, we've kept you for long enough. Thank you so much for jumping on a Monday night when you've probably got better things to be doing than talking to us two idiots. But, you know, we appreciate you coming on and being so honest and candid about, you know, the stuff that's been going on, really. And hopefully you've enjoyed it. Hopefully you've enjoyed chatting for a bit, you know, and not in an official capacity. So hopefully we'll get you on sort of later on in the year when the new kits are launched, and who knows, maybe there's another exciting kit launch afoot, perhaps. I thought we had him there, Ross. I thought he was going to give away something, but he didn't. Listen, thanks very much, everyone, for you guys to listening. Tim, have a good rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of the season if you can. And, you know, enjoy your holiday when you get to it. And, you know, congratulations on new number two whenever they arrive as well.
Sorry, what's that?
Congratulations on new number two as well whenever they arrive.
Yeah, any day. So I don't think I'll get a holiday.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
oh, gosh.
Well, listen, look after yourself, and thanks very much for everything you do. And, you know, pass on our best wishes to everyone at the club as well for what they're doing. And look after yourself. Ross and I will be back later on. Did we say Monday? After the bye?
I don't even know. Next week. We'll be back next week. You've had two in 2 days. So, you know, sometime next week we'll be back.
If you're going up to Bristol, enjoy it. Hopefully you'll get 3 points. Same again with Barnsley on Saturday. And hopefully this time next week when we talk to you, we'll be safe from relegation. How excited would that be? Have a really good week, everybody. Thanks again to Tim. See you soon, Ross. And come on, you arse.